morning, everybody. Matt Bubala here with you. 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio in the historic Tribune Tower building on Michigan Avenue, and a beautiful night in downtown Chicago. And I think a good day tomorrow too, Raj. Is that what's going on?
Saturday. Yeah. It's going to be windy, partly sunny, mid to high 40s. Yeah,
I'll
not
take
bad.
It. And then Sunday, it's going to get a little raw again this week.
Yeah, it's going to cool off for a little while, and then back and forth.
Before you know it, spring is here, and we're all happy again.
No, you got to get through February 1st.
In the meantime, President Trump headed to Davos, Switzerland this week for the World Economic Forum. Joining us on the phone right now is Pranay Gupta. He is a journalist who has been to the forum many times over the years. Good morning, Pranay. How are you?
Good morning, Matt. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for jumping on the phone with us. Tell me a little bit about the World Economic Forum. We hear about this every year. World leaders go, they make speeches. President Trump was there. What exactly is the forum? Is this just the playground of millionaires and billionaires, or is there actual real learning from economists and things like that going on there?
It's one giant adult education course, the way I would put it. And I don't mean that frivolously, because the kinds of people who come there are heads of state and government and important business people, important media people, actors, celebrities, and so on. Why do they get there? They come there because the organizers of the meeting, the World Economic Forum, which is now in its 48th year, decide that the world needs a gathering where people of some means and some motive and some, I suppose, good sense and good souls, such people need to exchange ideas about improving the state of the world. Now, there's something a little arrogant about it, but it's not taken that way. They really are passionately dedicated to the idea that if you have people with brains who have demonstrated their talent in life, then they can surely apply those brains to collective problems we all have in the world. That's what the World Economic Forum is, and it's highly successful, it's highly exclusive, and when you have someone like President Trump who gets there, he gets there for two reasons. One, he wants to be seen. Yes, he's the president, so he can go anywhere he wants to. But clearly, the value, the exclusiveness of the World Economic Forum is such that everybody wants to get to be there. That's number one. And secondly, it's like you have a captive audience. Where in one room in the world can you get so many world leaders and so many businessmen and so many media people, captive audiences who are listening to every word you have to say? So you can really communicate your message. And Mr. Trump's message, of course, was that, as he put it, America is open for business. Clearly, that sounds a bit naive, and not everyone agrees with it, because, as you know, he stirs quite a bit of hostility in some people. But nonetheless, it was a perfect platform for him, 1 year into his presidency, to communicate the basic philosophy of his governance, which is what? Which is that America needs to be restored to its once preeminent position in the community of nations. I've gone on and on, but that's essentially what the World Economic Forum is. And Davos is a beautiful skiing village. It's the highest skiing village in Europe. It's in southeast Switzerland. And it's absolutely gorgeous. You have, even if you're not a rich businessman or a powerful world leader, Matt, you still have to go there once in a lifetime.
Well, I hope
it'll never be the same again.
I hope to get there someday. I would love to see Switzerland. All right, let me ask you a couple of questions then. You said that this is a perfect opportunity for President Trump to talk about America regaining its prominence in the world. Did it not have its prominence in the world under the last administration? Had America on the world stage lost some of its luster, whether that's just economically or how it was viewed morally, things like that? Is President Trump trying to bring America back to that? Or some people would say that America has lost its luster in the last year.
Exactly. I mean, that's an irony, actually, that you point to, that when he talks about recovering America's luster, we're talking about recovering America's luster that was, if not lost, at least faded during the 12 months that he's been in office.
Had it faded during Obama's administration? I know that, that people on the Trump side would say economically all these things were terrible. I mean, Trump has used such outrageous language to say it was carnage and all these things about America. He makes it sound like, you know, we were the S-hole country, is the way he talks about once he takes over, he's going to fix everything, right? But was on the world stage, where, from what you've seen and reported on, Pranay, was America in a bad spot economically with the rest of the world?
Not at all. The American economy has always been the engine of growth for the world economy. It's still the largest economy in the world by far. You know, the annual GDP is $17 trillion, and that's very, very big. I don't think all of Europe combined matches that. So, you know, when you talk about regaining luster, you're only talking about perceptions. But there is something else, too, which is that in the world community, and particularly say, among Western nations, there has been some anxiety about trade, because just as the American economy is the engine of the world economy's growth, trade, as you know, is the real, it's the oil that fuels that growth. And when you talk about protectionist policies, where each country to itself and not necessarily what they call globalized policy, then people worry as to what the Trump administration is going to do. Essentially, what he is going to do, as he has said, is rather than invest heavily in the world economy as Mr. Obama did and George Bush did before him and Bill Clinton before him, Mr. Trump wants others to come and invest in the American economy. And then Davos yesterday, he sort of laid out a whole laundry list of things that people abroad can expect. Well, that sounded good, but that happens in practice, I do not know.
It's interesting.
But anyway, he got his message across. It's theater, really, Matt. It's theater.
Pranay, the way you described that, and I haven't heard this, so I don't know if this is the case, but the way you just described what Trump wants makes it sound to me like he's preaching worldwide trickle-down economics, that he doesn't want to invest in the world economy. He wants to get the world to invest in America, and by America having this great, incredible economy, that will help all the other countries. Is that sort of what he's trying to sell?
That's part of what he's trying to sell, but that's, you kind of hit upon a very important point, which is that the world economy, Matt, is much too interlocked. You know, you can't say, listen, you take care of your business and I'll take care of my business, but I want you to invest in me. I'm not going to invest in you. In other words, it can't be an entirely unidimensional, self-centered way of looking at things. And I think a number of people who listened to him, both who were there in Davos, and I've talked to some of them, friends of mine, and, of course, the worldwide television audience got the sense he, meaning President Trump, seemed fine as a salesman of the American Chamber of Commerce. But an American president needs to be something more than that. The American president, in the worldwide scheme of things, has traditionally been a global leader, not just in commerce, but in the world security, in peace, and a number of other issues that are getting to be far more interrelated now because of communications, the internet, and so on. People got the feeling that there wasn't enough of that. If you're looking to get the American point of view, at least the Trump administration point of view, yes, there was plenty of chest thumping. But if you are, say, a businessman from Japan, a businessman from Germany, you kind of wonder, what's in it for me?
When we talk about Trump saying America's open for business, that sounds interesting because a lot of the rhetoric that he's preached all along has been the jobs have to stay in America. I'll punish corporations that try to leave with jobs. and the tariffs he's imposed in the last week or so. So how
and
are other
panels and all that? Yes.
Yeah. How are other nations looking at business with America right now? And you know, Trump doesn't like a lot of these trade agreements we have because he thinks America got the raw end of the stick. And it sounds like what he wants to do is negotiate deals directly with different countries. Is that going to work for him? Can he pull that off?
No, I don't think he can pull that up. Because, look, if we are in a room of 10 people and we only decide, say, Matt is going to deal with Pranay, what about the remaining 8 people? The whole idea of a multilateral trade regimen is, meaning these global trade agreements, is that Matt brings something to the table, Pranay brings something to the table, Tom might bring something to the table, Jessica might bring something to the table. And then we collectively decide who has competitive advantage and who is in a position to offer what. Once that social and economic contract breaks down, then we are left to dog-eat-dog kind of situation. And I think it's, you know, we are way beyond that. These trade agreements that, like NAFTA, for example, between Canada, the U.S., and Mexico, these are designed to create a common ground which, in a sense, basically attracts to trade the best of what these countries have to offer, gets tariffs down so that goods are available for the cheapest possible way in price other, and employment is generated. Similarly, in Asia, for example, and so on and so forth. So, again, I don't want to get into very complicated discussions of what global trade regimens are, but they really are a matter of common sense. You just cannot, in this complicated world, I mean, look, we have 193 nations, yeah? If they all go into just bilateral trading, which of course they do in neighborhoods like India, for example, who would want to trade more heavily with China and so on, that's fine. But China and India also want to be able to trade with the other 45 countries in Asia, because China can't provide to the market everything the market needs, neither can India. That's just one example. The point being that everyone brings to the global bazaar their own particular strengths and their particular weaknesses. That's what the new trade regimen is, and Mr. Trump doesn't like it.
Well, and when he wants to just negotiate one-on-one treaties, I imagine that some of the danger then is that gives all these other countries the opportunity to work with each other and exclude us. If he pulls out of NAFTA and so Mexico starts working with more Central America and South American countries maybe to make up for that, is the American economy so big that we can't get short-circuited out of deals, that it can't hurt us, or are we overplaying our hand possibly?
Well, maybe in the long run or the medium run. Right now, I think Mr. Trump is betting on the fact that the American economy is intrinsically strong. The stock market, as you know, is at all-time high and so on. The latest employment figures that came out yesterday and so on suggest that there will be continued strong growth. So he is betting on the fact that there'll be enough investment opportunities that people can from overseas can bring their money here, invest and make money on their own. The nub of his argument is, come and invest in America, you grow our economy, in the process you grow prosperous. Sure. But what about their own economies? They can't, if you have $10, you're a German, for example, you have $10 to invest. You aren't going to take all $10 to America, you know? So, and then if you have an American president saying, well, we are not going to invest in Germany, you know, it becomes a one-way traffic. And I think we are way past that time when America could dictate a one-way traffic policy.
Yeah, well, we're 1 year in. We got 3 more years possibly of this presidency, maybe 7 more years. It'll be very interesting to see how things play on the world stage. There's been so much turmoil here in America over this presidency. How was he received in Davos? I think he was asked that question right away and said, I've been received very well, or something like that. But do you know how his talk went over? Was it received well? Is he being received well overseas, or are people just very cautious?
Well, look, Davos, you know, the World Economic Forum is a make happy club. So nobody throws eggs at you and tomatoes at you, you know? It's not that kind of a situation. So clearly, there was a sense of novelty. People were keen to see him in real life. And Klaus Schwab, the founder of the World Economic Forum, is a remarkable Swiss-German professor of economics and management. He has a way of generating warmth and goodwill to all people who come there as his guests. So at one level, there was a certain kind of good cheer and hail fellow, well fellow kind of atmosphere. I mean, look, after all, Mr. Trump was there only for 2 days. So number one, there was a traditional sense of warm welcome, which he was the beneficiary of. Number two, there was a curiosity about him, what he would be like in real life. And he certainly performed well. One might not agree with what he said, but he delivered his message. Three, people, I don't think really, in a sense, got a clear idea as to where the Trump policies are headed that would benefit the rest of the world. So I think, look, we are only a day away from his speech. I think the next few days, what you might want to look for is a discussion in these countries, in Britain, in Germany, in France, in Japan, India, and so on, China, as to the impact of Mr. Trump's speech. It wasn't a take-all, you know, my way or the highway kind of a speech. And even if it were, countries are no longer obligated to. He's not in a position to just crack the whip and people will fall into line. But I think to summarize the reception that he got a terrific platform. He was welcomed warmly and he generated buzz, which in turn will create more conversation in the days ahead as to what America's role is going to be in this Trump era and what the global economy is going to look like 1 year, 2 years, 10 years down the road.
Pranay Gupta is a reporter and a journalist who's covered the World Economic Forum many times over the years. Thank you so much for jumping on the phone with us.
Thank you for inviting me, Matt. Good luck.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir. We will talk again.